Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, John, when we last talked, the trade deadline was so fresh in our minds, and good to be back now. A lot has gone down. We're going to get to a discussion of contenders and pretenders and what we've seen in some of these teams that have been put together since the deadline. Also want to talk a little Quinn Snyder being hired, because I think that's really just a fascinating turn of events. We haven't seen anything like this in a while. However, we first must rule at least one team, maybe even two teams, out of the playoffs. We've ruled out, I think we get some work to do here, because we've only ruled out seven, and obviously we'll have to rule out another seven, so we probably got to get two ruled out here.
All right. This will get interesting.
It will get interesting, because there's some injury issues. I think we've certainly eliminated the low-hanging fruit, and also maybe some higher-hanging fruit that shouldn't have been eliminated, but to recap, you and I have eliminated the same teams in the same order so far. Perhaps that will change this time. OKC, Houston, Detroit, San Antonio, Charlotte, Orlando, and Indiana. Last time we did this was February 1st. So much has changed since then. Would you like the first pick or the second pick?
I'm going to pick first. I'm going to knock out the Chicago Bulls. And the reason I'm going to knock them out is because Washington winning that game last night in Atlanta was actually kind of huge. Their remaining schedule is so easy that I just think they're going to be very difficult to catch from behind. And I don't really see a pathway for Chicago after losing that game to Toronto to catch the Raptors or to catch the Hawks. So you ask yourself, who are the Bulls going to catch? Like, who is the team they're going to reel in while they're playing the way they're playing? And I don't have a good answer for that. And so I think they could actually still play relatively well maybe over these last 20 games. They're 28-34. Maybe they get to, like, you know, if they get to 39 wins, let's say, you know, with an 11-9 finish, that's still probably not enough. I think Washington beats that. I think Toronto, Atlanta beat that. So I'm going to knock out the Bulls.
That's an interesting call. They are at 34 losses right now. Everyone else, unless you want to count the Pacers as a team competing with them, is at 32 or fewer. You mentioned the Wizards' easier schedule, the loss to the Raptors last night, and obviously the Wizards would project as the 10 seed right now. So, and then if you're going to talk about the Bulls getting to the 8th seed, which is kind of where you need to be to, like, feel pretty good about making the playoffs, I mean, you've got a puncher's chance anytime you make it into the play-in. Although, worth noting that no 10 seed has ever won a game, although we've got a small sample size there. So, yeah, I mean, for them to even get up to 9, having to pass two teams, does seem unlikely. I think, though, I'm going to change up here.
Okay.
I think I'm going to change up. I might go to the other conference, and I'm going to eliminate the Utah Jazz from the playoffs.
Yes.
They may even make it in to the play-in. Like, that's not impossible to me.
Correct.
Although their loss to the Spurs last night at home was not amazing. Having seen this team, and we'll see whether Colin Sexton is able to come back and be effective, but their lack of shooting and lack of passing is definitely a problem, and they just don't have... They've got a lot of bad players in their rotation right now.
Which they did. They didn't all year, but then after the trade deadline,
right,
it's like, okay, Simone Fontecchio, here we go. You know,
I mean, I've got more hope for him than some of the guys that they have. I mean, like he at least made shots in Europe, right? Like that's he hasn't yet in the NBA, but maybe he can find the range. Hey, how many game winning dunks have there been this season? Simone Fontecchio as one of them.
That's true.
So
that's true.
And yeah, the Jazz are 31-32, but everyone else in the West is going to be really trying hard. And I think because they're very inexperienced also, and I think if you did get into a one game situation like the Bulls, you could construct a narrative, right? Like we're eliminating two teams, so I'll probably have to just do the Bulls after this anyway. but I would, you know, I want to preserve the order. And I think the Jazz, even if they get there, it's just, you know, to win, like they're definitely not going to get into the top eight, you would think, to have home court. I mean, that seems almost impossible with some of the firepower that's ahead of them. And then it seems like they just have so many weaknesses. Like they don't, okay, like Lauri Markkanen, yeah, all right. But he's someone who I think you can, if he's your only guy, you can kind of adjust to take him away with some of the non-shooting and passing they have on this team, the lack of experience. Like the Bulls, you could see DeRozan goes off, LaVine goes crazy, you know, maybe Vooch hits a bunch of threes. Like you kind of see how they might just be dangerous in a one or two game setting.
So here's like, where I'll agree with you. Conditional on them getting to 10th, I would prefer to have the Bulls than the Jazz, right? To enter that play-in tournament with. I just think that Utah is better positioned to get to 10th right now.
Yeah. I mean, and that might be... I mean, ultimately, you're... So, I guess, but I'll... So that's the Jazz. Well, let's talk about these two teams here real quickly before... Were you going to go Jazz with your next pick? I guess...
The Jazz were going to be my next pick, yes. The only other plausible pick for me that I thought about was the Lakers, but I still think there's this puncher's chance of like they get LeBron back and it's they're the 10th seed and they play two games and then they make it.
Well, you know what though, man, I mean the Blazers are right in it for me too though. I mean their team is basically Dame right now.
Oh my goodness. And some of these lineups, like right?
And Jeremy Grant. And you're just like, I mean, maybe they could just be better defensively because they're playing like Thibault now and some of these groups and stuff, but they just have a lot of no Simons. But when Dame is off the floor, they're going to be miserable. Like the fact that Simons.
Oh, those Keon Johnson minutes at the backup point guard. Woo! Yeah.
Particularly because they have like literally no replacement for Simons either. And. I mean, you never want to count out Dame in like a one game situation, but I mean, I guess I'm just like, the Lakers also could fall out of it, you would think, but, and especially AD not playing tonight is not particularly encouraging, and like no Russell either. Like they have so many injury issues, but they at least have like enough depth with NBA players. Like I think they can defend in most of their groups now. So, I mean, and for Chicago, you could like they're in 11th, right? If one of the teams above them like suffered some injury issues, I could also just kind of, I mean, I guess they are seven games behind the Nets at this point, though. The Nets
don't. I know. That's right, funny you say that. I looked at them potentially catching Brooklyn and I was just like, nah, there's too much ground to make up.
Yeah. I think the Nets will play a little bit better than they have been recently. So yeah. All right. I'll knock out the Bulls, particularly because I think we only have time to discuss two teams anyway, before we get into our other stuff. So do you want to talk? Let's talk Bulls first here and just where they are right now as a team.
I think they have no tanking incentive right now because of the Orlando pick, but I think they need to think really hard about what they are and where they're going after this season. Should they trade DeRozan or LaVine? Do they even want to bring back Vooch? What are they going to be going forward? I think the Lonzo, at this point, you have to look at Lonzo as probably being $42 million in dead money these last 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's more likely that he ends up being a long-term injury exclusion than that he gets back to his previous level at this point.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, you're right. I mean, if it's determined to be a career-ending injury, it's possible they could get that $21 million put back on their cap in 24. But he still won't be playing basketball for them, right? And they just don't think LaVine, DeRozan, Vooch is enough to get you beyond average, and even that's a pretty best case scenario. I think Patrick Williams just kind of being a guy and not having any star value really hurts. I think that was one of the things they were looking at, that if this guy pops, then we really have something. I think it's time for them to rebuild.
Party like it's 2017, baby. Except, of course, they had a much better player and a much better team. Like the 2017 Bulls team, at least you could construct a way in which they might have been able to get to, like, you know, being a solid playoff team with Butler for a few years. And they rebuilt, never really got there. It's pretty crazy what Lauri Markkanen has become, given what the situation was for him in Chicago. And, even given what it was in Cleveland, too. That was another
yeah, totally. Didn't yeah.
know what they had yeah. in him. But, and credit the Jazz for what they've been able to accomplish. Lauri Markkanen would be a pretty amazing fit on this basketball team, wouldn't he, at the four?
Wow. But yeah.
He wouldn't.
Shooting ability. Yeah. And, yeah.
But he wouldn't have gotten the reps, obviously, with the LaVine and DeRozan and Vucevic there. Yeah, it's for the Bulls. It just, you don't really see what the path is to get that much better. I mean, maybe what you could say, John, is like, if they could add a four who could shoot and defend a little bit, I mean, they could possibly make a trade. Maybe Patrick Williams could be part of that trade. That might change it, because they actually have been like shockingly competent defensively this year. And
I think
some of that is smoke and mirror shooting loss.
Caruso has been so good at that end.
Yeah. I think you need to investigate all options if I were them. I don't know that it's an automatic rebuild. And you'd think, hey, we got DeRozan, we got LaVine. Maybe LaVine, he gets a full summer to do something other than rehab. He can get back to where he was a couple of years ago. And now DeRozan is going to fall off a little bit. I think they, you know, re-signing Vooch for, you know, maybe a 2 years, $40 million or something like that, you know, where it's just kind of like, hey, there's not much opportunity cost here. Although I will say, or maybe even they sign him into just a big 1 year deal, the second year non-guaranteed, because they could actually have a bunch of cap space in 24.
Yeah.
And if Lonzo's
still on their books, they could have a bunch of cap space in 24.
Yeah. And if they could find a way to just get more shooting at the four and get this offense to where the talent that's on the roster kind of indicates that they should be at, and they can maintain this defense reasonably well, like maybe there is hope for them to get back to at least being, you know, around where they were 2 years ago, as like a sixth seed, fifth seed, something like that. So I would investigate that. But obviously you have to also investigate the trade value of basically anyone on the roster as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think DeRozan is probably the key piece of that going into the final year of his deal.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Are you going to extend him at this point in time? And you know, who's the Lakers seemed like an obvious trade partner. I wonder who else would, I mean, because as good as DeRozan is, he obviously can be like a tough fit at times. I still maintain that like him going back to the Raptors would make a ton of sense.
that was good. That was right on the tip of my tongue.
I said that even 2 years ago, and that would have been a great signing for them in the end. So, yeah, I mean, it's got to be disappointing that they cashed in all their chips in the Vucevic move, and then winning one playoff game is going to be the apex of that era. I mean, that is a very tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, definitely.
They just
rushed into it and for no reason, and this is what you get when you know, it's like the same thing with Minnesota. Like when you just jump in too early with a team that isn't worth going all in on, like, no, you got to keep building for a while longer before you make that kind of move.
Yeah, well, and also I think both Gobert and Vucevic, and you could throw DeJounte Murray in here too, that just, they weren't the kind of players that I think those teams thought that they were, at least not going forward.
Correct.
Oh, it is that time again. Wedding season. Indochino's custom suits will have you walking into a wedding looking like $1 million, feeling like $1 million, because their suits are custom made to fit you perfectly. You can get a tailored fit from the comfort of your home. You can set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website, choose customizations without even leaving the house. Indochino was the official outfitter of my wedding. I got a tux from them. All my groomsmen got custom fitted sport jackets, and I'd like to think we all look great. Order your custom suit now. Be ready for wedding season, whether it's at home or in person at a showroom New Year, which I actually recommend. That's what I did. An Indochino style guy can walk you through all of the amazing customizations that they have. The lapels, the lining, single-breasted, double-breasted. You can feel the fabrics in person. That's definitely the best way to do it, in my opinion. But you can also do it from home as well. Look your best this wedding season at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use the code PER. Easy to remember PER because that's the metric that John invented. Use the code PER to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, I-N-D-O-C-H-I-N-O, Indochino.com. And don't forget that PER code to let them know you came from us. As a sports fan, you know that when you get into the last seconds of the game, you've got an amazing chance to win, to make all your hard work pay off. All you have to do is convert at the very end, and your favorite player misses the last shot, swings and misses at that high fastball just out of the zone. So if it's that bad in sports, imagine how bad it is if your business's commerce platform keeps whiffing on golden opportunities. You're putting in all this work only to have it squandered because you can't actually convert, because your commerce platform is not keeping up. Instead, get the MVP you deserve. Get Shopify. They are revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. If you're a garage entrepreneur, IPO ready, Shopify is the only tool you need to start, run, and grow your business without the struggle. Shopify puts you in control of every sales channel. If you're selling signed sneakers from Shopify's in-person POS system or offering official outfielders outfits on Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform, you are covered. And once you've reached your audience, Shopify is the internet's best converting checkout to help you turn them from browsers to buyers. It's no wonder that Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. This is possibility powered by Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/PER, all lowercase, easy to remember because John invented it. That's shopify.com/PER to take your business to the next level today. Shopify.com/PER, all lowercase. Don't forget that /PR URL to let them know you came from us.
Okay, how about from Utah's standpoint here? I think it would have been very convenient for them even after the break if they could have started tanking, but they've won some games. They're just, you know, Lauri Markkanen is pretty good. They've got some other guy like Walker Kessler has been solid. The coach is really good. Yeah. So it seems like they're going to just kind of end up in that 10 range.
Yeah, basically,
maybe even more.
They had a perfect tank set up and then inadvertently acquired an all-star forward and an elite rim protector. And so now they ended up with an average team instead. They'll probably be bad the rest of the way. Going forward, though, what is this team? I still think they have some holes. What are they going to do with Jordan Clarkson and free agency? Is Oshae Agbaji really anything, or is he, you know, just a whatever back end rotation guy? Does Kelly Olynyk have trade value? Is Sexton what is Sexton? I mean, he's a very divisive player, I would say still. And then they have cap room. They're going to have picks, so they're positioned well, obviously, especially with these future Minnesota picks. And I just don't know if they'll be better next year than this year. It would be difficult for them to be better next season, given what they lost in the trade and what they're possibly going to lose in the offseason.
Yeah, they have $54 million in cap room without Clarkson is what I project them for right now. And they're going to have three first-round picks. They'll have theirs. They'll have Minnesota's. There is a little something to be said that if they could win and get ahead of Minnesota, that could then it's kind of six to one, half dozen the other there, where if you win and you get into the play-in, you push Minnesota out, that then maybe you're, or if you don't make it in and Minnesota does, like, it's kind of one of the two. You kind of have a little bit of a hedge there with the Minnesota unprotected pick that they own. And then, of course, they also have the number 25 projected number overall pick, the worst of Houston, Brooklyn, and Philly this year from the O'Neal trade. Yeah, I wonder, I mean, they've had so much success, but then still the overall plan of how you get this team back into being a solid playoff team. Is it just, hey, let's make all these draft picks or maybe we try to trade up in this year's draft? That usually is very expensive. They have all these picks going forward as well, future picks that they could use to try to identify players that they really like. Now, OKC could be doing the same thing, but I mean, next year's team, you think, unless there's some big revolution, is a 35 win type of outfit, maybe 40 if they play better. So do you use that cap space to try to improve the team?
I'm not sure they're going to go too far into that, and I'll tell you why. 2024 first round pick, top 10 protected to OKC, right?
Huh. Yeah, that's a good point. So maybe they're just going to, but it's like, they have too many good players.
Hang around 30 wins for another year and then make your move.
Yeah. The other thing to keep in mind too is they probably are going to want to leave some cap space open for the offseason of 2024 so they can renegotiate and extend Lauri Markkanen. It sounds like even with the 150% being the new extension maximum,
that's probably isn't enough for him. Yeah.
Yeah. So they won't want to quite overcommit there either. And they will not be able to renegotiate and extend him until next summer. It has to be 3 years after he signed the contract with Cleveland. So they couldn't do that this summer or at any point during the 23-24 season. Yeah, it's going to be fascinating what they do. And they've almost been a little bit too successful. They would have loved to obviously get one of these top draft picks. But who knows where they could end up with, the number 10 seed in the lottery. And maybe they get some luck to get into the top four or something like that too. Okay. Let's talk Quinn Snyder getting hired by the Hawks. This is your abode. What do you think?
So I think I'm less confused from the Hawks' perspective than I am from Quinn Snyder's perspective, I guess. The Hawks got themselves a top five coach. This is a no-brainer. Do that.
Top five coach, huh?
You don't think so?
I would probably go more in the top 10 range. I think there was an argument for him at times in the last couple of years. A guy that I look at as a very good coach. A guy I think of as being a difference maker, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So
top five. I guess our coach rankings, we can really find out. Hey, he'll be back.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Sayonara, Nate McMillan.
I'm gonna zigzag on you. Put him 17th when we do that show. So in all seriousness, I thought from Atlanta's perspective, okay, yeah, let's really get a guy and not just promote an assistant or whatever. And they went out and got him. So good on them. I think Tony Ressler actually spending the money to get the guy, surprising people. So again.
Think of how much he's saving on Nick Ressler's salary as the lead decision maker.
And that's where you get into what is this really going to look like? Because I do think Snyder's going to have a lot of juice in personnel. It usually gets really tricky when that's the case. Popovich, I'd say, would be the glaring exception in San Antonio. And so that part's going to be tricky because the Hawks have some hurdles here in terms of their cap, in terms of owing draft picks from the Murray trade, in terms of Murray not really being extendable and him being a free agent in 24.
They might be able to get him with the 150% if that comes in. For those who missed it, by the way, Shams reported, I think yesterday, that they're going to increase the percentage that you can increase a guy's salary in a veteran extension from 120% to 150%. That might be able to get it done. That meant like 27, 28 million a year.
25.
Especially because is that all it is? 25?
That's 8.8 to 17.7. It gets you 26.
But then he can get the 8% raises from there. So it ends up being probably about 28 million a year overall.
I'm skeptical.
I think I would actually take that if I were DeJounte Murray personally. But I think he could do better than that.
In 24 unrestricted free agency, I think he could definitely do better than that. He's been good this year.
Yeah, I guess you would have a better view of that than me, I suppose. So why did Quinn Snyder take this job then? Just the money and the power, you think?
I think it was those two things. Obviously, it seems like he had some level of comfort joining forces with Kyle Korver and Landry Fields. But to me, it had to be that. Otherwise, you might feel like he's better off waiting on, do the Clippers job or the Sixers job or one of these other jobs come open this summer that's really one of the plum jobs with a quote-unquote contender.
It seems impossible that the Clippers would come open. I think everyone loves Ty Lue too much for that, I would think. You're hearing differently?
Look at the season they're having. Come on. But Palmer's not this guy that exudes patience. I think there's gonna be a lot of coach movement this offseason. We've had three jobs change already. I think there will be at least seven others that change this offseason. That's where I'm setting the over under.
Okay. I would say Monty Williams before Ty Lue.
That's definitely one to watch. Yes.
Yeah.
And that would be another one.
This is a better topic for our coach rankings, maybe. But
Yeah, yeah.
Let me make a note of that. That's seven jobs. John says seven jobs could change. That's including the other three or seven more?
Seven more to make it a total of 10 for the season. Because we already had Boston, Brooklyn, and Atlanta, right?
Yeah. Boston was kind of a weird one, but I guess it did happen. But back to Quinn Snyder. Yeah, it seems like, and you know, he won this power struggle in theory with Dennis Lindsay in Utah, and then they immediately brought in Danny Ainge over the top of him. And I think then also the fact that, you know, maybe Quinn Snyder would have preferred in Utah to just continue to try to work with that same group. But obviously Danny Ainge wanted to go in a different direction. I think he was correct in that. And so, yeah, without any kind of really long-term established voice, this kind of reminds me a little bit of the Mike Budenholzer situation in Milwaukee. I think Mike has at least, you know, a pretty decent say in personnel, judging by the number of times they've acquired George Hill. So I think, and this is somewhat similar.
Yeah, exactly.
Although Bud is kind of the George Hill whisperer too, but I think this is somewhat similar in the sense that, you know, when Bud came in, it was supposed to be Justin Zanuck, and obviously there were the ownership issues there as well. I mean, it seemed like they couldn't agree on something, but then they went with kind of the inexperienced executive. And I agree with you with Snyder that, I mean, maybe he's just really a believer in the personnel that they have, but this doesn't seem to have a lot of upside. I mean, this feels maybe now there. This is kind of bird in the hand for Snyder, and I laud the Hawks for making the offer necessary to get him, because I think he probably would have had better offers, but Snyder didn't know that, and I think he wanted to get back in. Mm-hmm. What do you think, though, in terms of just his fit there, the way he wants to coach, the effect that might have on personnel going forward?
I think he's going to make the Murray-Young pairing in the backcourt much more, symbiotic, like have them actually playing off of each other and doing more stuff where they, even in two games with Joe Prunty, you saw more of it than under McMillan. But yeah, I expect more of that. I really question what John Collins' role is going to be. The Hawks were last in three-point attempt rate. All Snyder's Utah teams were top five in rate. They just acquired Sadiq Bey. They finished the game last night with Sadiq Bey at four. I just think that the handwriting is on the wall there, that I don't even know if they're going to be able to move that contract right now or what they can get for him. But as long as Collins can't shoot, and he's still, you know, we've talked about this before, ever since he hurt the finger, he hasn't been able to make anything. I mean, the Wizards... right before he came out last night, I mean, they left him wide open from the three-point line, and he clanged that thing. I just don't see how you can become more three-point oriented with this Atlanta team and leave Collins in the mix as a heavy usage four. Like, you're almost better off moving him to five and trading a Kongwu, right?
Or maybe trading
Capella and Collins at five.
Yeah. Or maybe trading Capella as well. You know, that's another thing that could maybe happen. I mean, yeah, John Collins, I think people just don't realize how much he's fallen off. And yes, you could say, you know, he's dispirited or whatever. And it's like, well, I mean, he's not shooting 25% for three because he's depressed. right? Like, generally my default is you are what you're putting on film. And it hasn't been, he hasn't done as much as an offensive rebounder either. So he just he's been de-emphasized, but he also, that's part of it is because he hasn't merited those touches the way he used to. Yeah. And we saw this with Snyder before. The big pain point between he and Dennis Lindsay was Lindsay wanting to go with Favors and Gobert, and Snyder would have to start those guys, and then he would put in Jay Crowder or whoever it was and never go back to that after the beginning of the half. So I think we're going to get to that point pretty quickly here. And the Hawks are like, oh, we're not going to just dump John Collins.
That's probably what's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. But it'd be interesting. And now he at least has a chance to evaluate this group before he makes his request to the front office.
Exactly. This offseason. Yes. Yes. Already $7 million over next year's tax, by the way, Atlanta. I mean, theoretically, they could cut that number a little bit. Like, I'm sure Vit Kreshi will not actually be on the roster next year. But those roster spots still need to get filled, though. So it just comes right back on their books. So they got to cut money somewhere, basically.
You know what would have been a great, hey, this guy's on this team now? Bruno Fernando, back in Atlanta.
Yes.
He at least for another 20 game.
I mean, are you sure it's going to be 20?
What? Oh, in terms of just like they actually make the playoffs?
No, I'm in terms of like they're not required to keep cut him roster the rest of the year, you know?
Yeah.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Okay, let's talk a little contender or pretender here. You wrote about this. I didn't look at it yet, but I know since it's percolating your mind, wanted to talk about it. And let's just put like 3 minutes on the clock for each of these teams. And basically, the way I want to define it is we wouldn't be shocked if they got to the conference final. So that to me is a contender. Once you're getting to the conference finals, you're probably pretty happy. I don't think anybody is getting fired if you make it to the conference finals, unless it's just a complete meltdown or something like that. That's for basically any team this year. That's I think that would be considered a successful season, maybe with a couple of exceptions. So I'll give you the first pick here. Let's put 3 minutes on the clock. What do you want to discuss first, contender or pretender?
All right. So the Celtics and Bucks are obviously contenders, right? We don't need to talk about them, right?
No, we don't. And those to me are the two teams I look at right now that have established being a quality team on both ends. And the Bucks have had their difficulties, but I think they have enough offensive talent. They have, yeah, it's like there are things that are very difficult to stop. Hopefully they'll shoot it better from three. Obviously the Celtics are a good two-way team. So those to me are the only teams where I'm like, all right, I feel pretty good about their playoff offense and defense. Everyone else I got question marks about.
Let's talk about the Denver Nuggets, because on paper, they have all the prerequisites of a contender, and in fact are the only team in the Western Conference that does.
Pretty amazing. They're projected to win 57 games right now, Grizz 51, and then nobody else projected to win more than 46. I suspect that we're going to see more teams getting into the high 40s as some of these teams get injured or start tanking or whatever. Wins are just easier to come by in the last 20 games. So I think we'll see.
So that has historically been true, but the play-in has changed things. And a lot of these teams we're talking about don't have many bottom feeders left on their schedule.
Yeah. I still think, though, like it just becomes clear even in the last 2 weeks, some of these teams are just not going to get there. Or, you know, I mean, if LeBron just doesn't come back for 4 weeks, like they're probably going to just eventually shut guys down just because it doesn't make sense to keep playing them. Or,
yeah, I could see that definitely.
So Blazers is another candidate. Yeah. Jazz, maybe the last 2 weeks. Some of these teams are going to be out of it. And it's just like, all right, we're done here.
Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe you're right that it's different this year. April basketball finds a way to suck. That's that has been my theory. But back to Denver. We wasted our 3 minutes. We'll restart the clock on them. Obviously a contender by the sense that they would likely be favored to make it to the West Finals based on the home court, based on the fact that they might have matchups that they feel pretty good about. I think the fact that they've been Clippers kryptonite, they have to feel pretty good about, at least if they get that matchup. And also just some of these teams, Suns, are they going to make it there healthy? They've got some depth issues. Warriors, who knows about them? Mavs don't have any depth either. I would probably favor the Nuggets or the Grizzlies or Kings. So I think they got a decent chance of making it. So by this definition, they are contenders. I wouldn't be shocked if they won the NBA championship, but I would still be surprised just because it's so hard to simply outscore teams 4 series in a row.
I feel like I would be surprised if they actually won the championship, but I would not be surprised to see them in the finals. And it'll depend a little on how the bracket lays out, I guess, too. But they're going to have, I mean, Denver's home court advantage is a little more severe than some other teams, too. And they'll have it in every series. And I was talking to somebody about this week, because I was talking about the concerns about Jokic and the playoffs. They're just going to put him in pick and rolls. And basically, this person's point was, who gives a shit? They're going to score on every play. Like, you're not going to be able to stop them, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Like I said, though, I mean, you're just, if the, there are going to be games where they're not going to shoot well from three, like they've been a great shooting team this year, but some games you just aren't going to do that. And so just to not have anything to fall back on if you don't have a great offensive game. And I mean, I agree with you. I think Nikola Jokic is one of the greatest offensive forces we've ever seen. And their numbers with him on the floor this year are just completely ridiculous. But I just think, and also if they run into a team that at least like a Phoenix or a Golden State that at least has a guy who can at least prevent Jokic from like putting him in the goal, right? Like to where at least they got to go to some of this secondary stuff where they can get the ball out of his hands and so make some of these other guys beat them. And you know, going pick and roll at Nikola Jokic every single time is like, that can also wear him out in the playoffs. Like I still am skeptical that they can get all the way there because of, I just don't think they can be a good playoff defense. Also, like the bench, the Michael Malone all bench units, like that's a concern to me too. I don't like that aspect of it. You can have games where Jokic gets in foul trouble.
Yeah, I actually feel better about their bench now. Bringing in Reggie, Flacco, we haven't talked about Flacco Chancellor.
there was a great call by your buddies in Memphis where Ja Morant blew by Chanchar and he called him a no chance Chanchar. He's actually not bad defensively, but that was he's not gonna be able to slide his feet with Ja Morant. Memphis Grizzlies, contender or pretender?
Yeah, I vacillate on these guys. It's not that they're disappointing exactly, but they haven't really leveled up from where they were a year ago. And the bench isn't as strong, which isn't going to matter in the postseason. And that's one of the reasons they're going to win fewer games this year. But half court offense, shooting, like they feel very schemable when you get to a playoff series. I worry about that a lot with them. Probably not in the first round, but when you get to a second round series, I worry about that a lot with them. That I just don't know if they're going to be good enough to get out of a second round series against a good team that can just scheme for what they do every single day.
I'm very concerned about their lack of two-way players and reliable players. We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
I do think that Ja, although he himself has not been incredibly efficient this year, I do think that he is good enough to really be a problem for teams in the playoffs, that gives their offense at least some kind of a baseline. And obviously they can still run, they can still offensive rebound. Like that gives you something. I don't think their offense is just going to be terrible in the playoffs, as long as everyone is healthy. And I think their defense is... their defense is easily the best in the West. Like nobody else is even like remotely decent right now. I mean, maybe the Warriors get there if they're fully healthy and they get Gary Payton back. I don't think the Clippers can get there at this point.
That would be their cheat code. I mean, with Jackson and Brooks on the floor together, especially, I mean, they're just so good on that end that maybe that ends up being enough to get them to conference finals.
Yeah, but some of their bench guys are less impressive defensively. You know, they don't have Melton and Kyle Anderson.
No, now it's, man, now if they it's just, Luke, yeah. Luke Kennard. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Kennard gives them a different element, of course, too, as a shooter. And he definitely, like, absolutely killed the Nuggets the other day. So I don't think it's obvious that the Nuggets would beat the Grizzlies in a series at all. To me, that series is, like, kind of a toss-up. I think both these teams have, like, massive matchup advantages against the other.
Yeah, Grizzlies have done pretty well against Denver the last couple of years, if I recall correctly. That'd be an interesting one in a conference finals.
They've both smacked the shit out of each other in home games this year so far. I don't Steven Adams has never guarded Jokic well. I think Denver is probably best equipped of maybe any team to score against this Grizz defense, and you could put Jaren in foul trouble, although pretty much every team seems to be able to do that. But then like Denver is probably terrible against the Grizz because they don't have any rim protection. Jokic is really slow getting back, so they can push the ball up. There's So I think there's, you know, you just, this is one of these put Jokic and pick roll, even if they want to put Jokic up at the level, like Ja can just go around him even then. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be kind of a shootout between those two teams. I'm not sure which would win it. I mean, Nuggets maybe because they have home court, but
would you be shocked if Memphis won the championship?
Shocked. I mean, what's shocked? Under 5% chance? No, I would give them over.
Yeah, under 5. Are they an under 5%?
Yeah. The Daryl Morey rule, right? If you have a 5% chance, you go for it. Like they had enough championship equity that I was saying, hey, you should go for it at the trade deadline. Apparently, they tried to.
I think they're kind of right on the line for me. There are four teams that I think are kind of right on the 5% line for me, and they're one of them. I think Denver is clearly above that line.
Yeah, I would not be shocked if, by our definition, I would not be shocked if they make the conference finals. It'd be the number two seed. You know, and I think while I do think the teams below them have more potential, like we just haven't seen them reach that potential yet. It's all theoretical. These guys have proven they can be good when they're at full health.
All right. Can we talk about the team? Yeah, because I got into an extended argument with myself over this in my column at The Athletic, the Philadelphia 76ers.
As far as making it to the conference finals, I would consider them contenders.
I would say clearly with that, because then you're talking about winning. I think they'd be a heavy favorite in a 3-6 series. And then you're talking about winning one series against the Bucks or Celtics. Yeah, I'd sign up for that.
I like their matchup against the Bucks much more than the Celtics.
I agree with that.
Why do you say that?
I'm probably overreacting to the last game I went to, but to see Tatum having, if not the worst game of his life, certainly something for the short list, and Philadelphia still unable to beat them at home, I guess was kind of eye-opening to me.
Yeah. Tatum has a lot of worst games of his life, by the way. I mean, he can go crazy, but I also think he is kind of a lower floor player than a lot of these superstars are. Like he'll have more games where he just looks really bad than, you know, say like a Luka or something like that.
Yeah.
But all right. Yeah. So this is the Sixers. What do we not like about their matchup against the Celtics, and what do we like against the Bucks?
Celtics, I thought, were able to hurt them with the three ball from the bigs. I mean, the Bucks would probably try to do that with Brooke Lopez, but I just think you worry about that maybe a little less.
Yeah, I mean, the Bucks don't, they kind of play, I mean, they don't play five out because of Giannis, number one. But number two, they don't, like, have the level of ball movement and shooting and, like, kind of the handoff game. They're not, like, beating you with, like, cuts to the rim or, like, quick hard drives the way that a Boston is. And I think that's what really can kind of stress out not only Embiid, but also Harden. They also, Maxie, the Celtics are just much better. Yeah. Or Maxie. Like the Celtics are much better positioned to play mismatch basketball than the Bucks are. And that I think is a big problem for the Sixers because they have a lot of mismatches to exploit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're another one when you talk about the lack of two way players that I think they get hurt by that. And
yeah, they're better than they were last year, but they still, James Harden and Maxie are issues.
Yeah. And then, so what happens? They end up starting Melton, but he's a good player. I don't know if he totally fits with that group either. They kind of could use a real number three guy, and Tobias Harris isn't really that guy, anymore. I don't think, Tucker is what, like, offensively, I'm really just see what happens in the playoffs with him offensively, like how brazenly teams will ignore him.
Well, but I think he to me has more value against the Bucks too, as a guy who can guard Giannis. Like the Sixers being able to have two guys who can guard Giannis, like Embiid, we've seen him do it at the end of games as well. I think that's really interesting. I think the Sixers, when they want to play mismatch ball, the Bucks, with the addition of Crowder, they're in a little better position, but generally you've got a Grayson Allen or a Joe Ingles or a Bobby Portis on the floor that you can go after. The Bucks only have one guy who can guard Embiid in Lopez. So I think the Bucks have more talent. I think Giannis is better than anyone on the Sixers, but I think the Sixers do kind of match up a little
bit. This matchup, yeah. I've thought that since the start of the year, that Sixers-Bucks matchup would be kind of dangerous for Milwaukee, even if they had a better team, if you laid it out on paper.
Now, if I'm the Sixers, I think that I would have loved, if I were them, to get in a position to be the number one seed like they were 2 years ago and make the Celtics and Bucks play each other. But they're now three games behind the Celtics and four behind the Bucks in the loss column. And 5:30, and the Sixers have a really hard schedule too. So 5:30 is projecting them to finish seven games behind both the Celtics and the Bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Philly only has seven home games left. And yeah, they do. They're going on a 5-game road trip right now. They play Miami again tonight. Like it gets pretty tough from here.
I also, if I'm the Sixers, I want no part of the Miami Heat in the first round.
I mean, I just saw Miami beat them and just kind of bore them to death. So I sort of understand that, but I just don't think Miami has enough talent to beat them in a 7-game series.
Maybe not, but I
know what happened last team, even, year. Yeah. And
even with the addition of Tucker and Melton, I don't want to be going up against a team that's just like clearly going to play harder than the Sixers. Like Bam is going to outwork Joel and Jimmy Butler is going to outwork.
They might want to miss the playoffs then, Nate.
All right, my pick here, Cleveland Cavaliers. I mean, obviously they're not favorites, but would you be shocked if they made it? I won't even say made it to the conference finals. Do they have any chance of beating one of those top teams?
I'll actually give them a chance. I think there might be enough with the bigs and with Mitchell's shot creation ability and ability to create difficult shots. I think Mitchell would have to be going bananas offensively because I don't know what else they're going to be able to do at a high level in a playoff series. But
yeah, the Garland pick and roll game could be interesting.
But I could see a pathway. That pathway would obviously be much easier if there was a small forward on that team that I believed in.
They should trade for Chanchar and they could pair him with Dean Wade, who is like Chanchar East. Like kind of a three, kind of a four. Dean Wade is better than Chanchar, by the way. But
yeah, I think
they're similar players.
The American Vlatko.
I'm not sure what similarity I could possibly be pointing to, but I could see them giving the Sixers trouble. Possibly.
That would have to be a conference finals, though.
Yeah. It would have to be a conference finals. Yeah, because if there's the 3-4. I mean, the Knicks only 2 games behind the Cavs in the loss column.
Unless Cleveland drops to 6. But I mean, if Cleveland's bad enough the rest of the way that they drop to 6, I'd have a hard time turning around and picking them to beat Philly in the first round.
Yeah, that's true. I guess they would be on the other side of the bracket regardless. Yeah, or I mean, I guess there's the possibility the Cavs could be the 3 and the Sixers could be the 4 as well.
That is still on the table because of Philly's schedule. Yeah.
If the Knicks make it to the 4th seed, I can't wait to pick them to lose game 5 at home under Tom Thibodeau and lose the series 4-1 to the Cavs.
The gentleman's sweep time with home court is really a rare treat.
It would be the 4th time in Tom Thibodeau's career that happened to
me. The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Okay, next pick here for you.
That would be amazing. So Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, what is this team? KD is going to debut tonight. I mean, obviously, by this definition, we wouldn't be shocked if they got to the conference finals. I think their upside is close to where everyone else sees it. I just see this whole endeavor as much riskier from both a health and a depth standpoint and a defense standpoint too than I think a lot of people are viewing.
I agree. This team has more warts than I think people would acknowledge. And so, my default is that they're a contender. I want to see it these last 20 games and kind of see what it looks like with Durant out there. And the other part people forget, what kind of condition his knees in. But I'll default to that, especially in this West. I think historically getting to 3 versus being in the 4 or 5 matters a lot. I think the Suns have a pretty clear pathway to get to catch Sacramento for three, especially still playing them twice. And I think that would help them a lot. And if you're then going through the through the bracket, playing a six seed in the first round, playing Memphis in the second round, I think that's a much easier path.
Who is the six seed? Who is the six seed you're talking about them playing exactly?
Whoever they'd be playing. It looks like maybe Dallas or the Clippers or Golden State.
I don't love any of those matchups for them as being like easy, difficult 3-6.
I think we got some paper tigers going on.
Okay.
But
we will talk more. So, I think one of the nice things about acquiring Durant for Phoenix is now the fact they don't really have a reliable backup point guard doesn't matter anymore, because they've got the three ball handlers. You can kind of keep two of them on the floor at all times. If you got Booker and KD, you could just play Landry Shamet or Damian Lee as your other guard, and you don't have to worry about.
I think they'll play
Cameron Payne.
This helps Landry Shamet a lot, I think, because like he can't dribble, but man, he can as an open shooter. He's pretty potent, and that he could create some problems for people.
Yeah. Now he also hasn't played since January 16th due to right foot soreness, but presumably he'll be back at some point. Campaign, I think, is close. And I mean, now how much can they get out of TJ Warren? I mean, that four position between Torrey Craig, Warren, Darius Bazley, Josh Okogie, can they cobble together enough there?
Yeah. Okogie's having a nice year, but I worry about him in a playoff series. Obviously, they're not going to guard him.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, if you have the ability to just isolate from mid-range, that's the type of play that is probably the least spacing dependent. But
this team's going to degenerate into a 2-point chuckathon. They can still do that more efficiently than anyone else given the players they have, but it's still like not great offense.
Yeah. And Chris Paul is going to need to make some spot ups, which he's been doing a little more this year. I think there's a lot of pressure on DeAndre Ayton defensively right now, and a lot of pressure on KD defensively. Like I think they're kind of average as a playoff defense, but there are a lot of teams that are pretty average as a playoff defense in this Western Conference.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, obviously they can win the championship. Otherwise, I would be surprised. I think just maybe next year they can get a little more reinforcements, but particularly like if they went up against a Milwaukee, I think that they would be even a Boston too. I think Boston could switch and just get them into just taking a lot of difficult shots, and they have one guy who can guard Giannis, and that's Ayton, and he doesn't even do a good job. So I like their chances better in the West than I do in the finals. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I guess we're into another team where you're saying wouldn't be shocked in the conference finals. Wouldn't necessarily be shocked to see them in the finals. We'd be kind of surprised to see them win a finals.
So John, the Golden State Warriors, I think, are now a season best 2 games over 500.
So this is the last of the kind of four teams that I'm on the fence on about. Are they a contender or not? And
well, they did this last stretch here. They apparently successfully navigated the Curry injury. Like, he's going to be back now within about a week. They came out with that. And Klay Thompson is playing really well. You know, it sounds like they're hoping to get Gary Payton back for the playoffs. Wiggins, who that's actually kind of disturbing too. I mean, to have won all these three in a row without Wiggins and without Curry, and two of them without Draymond Green, I think that's actually pretty big for them. So they could be right in it as far as, you know, being in the fifth seed, fourth seed, not necessarily being in the play. If they're in the play-in, I think any of these teams, if they're in the play-in, like, you're just not going to win the championship from that position. It's just too hard. You miss a week of rest, which I think really is difficult, especially for some of these veteran teams. And this Wiggins thing, like, this personal absence could linger. Like, I mean, that's really a concern for me because they have to obviously get what they got from him in last year's playoffs too. But these guys are still like, all of the players on this team, they haven't gotten it going together, but they have all flashed enough this season, except for maybe Jordan Poole, where you're like, hey, they do have it. If you can get all these guys clicking at the same time, like,
I still think they have the highest ceiling of any team in the West.
Wow. I just think they've all been worse than last year, with maybe the exception of Curry. Curry's regular season last year actually wasn't that great, which gets glossed over because he was so good in the playoffs.
I think Clay is playing better now than he was playing.
Yes. I think Clay in the playoffs, especially in the Boston series, was pretty damn good.
I mean, he summoned like 3-4 games of good defense. I actually think Draymond, compared to where he was coming off the injury last year, I think he might actually be as good as he was last. Like, he's actually shooting a little bit. He's finishing okay. Like, I think he's actually had a very underrated season. I mean, and the Peyton thing is really interesting. And DiVincenzo has been awesome for them, right? Like,
he's had a really nice stretch here, especially lately. Yeah, because he took a minute to get going. But yeah, he's been good. Looney's had a nice year. Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins, I don't think have played at the level they did last year at all.
No. Not even close.
That hurts. And they're blasting themselves out of a really tough spot. Defending champions, historically, I mean, that is something. And so to me, that is the one thing that's left to hang your hat on. Like, there's nothing in this year's data that says this is a championship team. Like, I'm sorry, it's just not there.
What about plus 20 net rating with their starting lineup?
But that's like 11 minutes.
But it's also a group that was really good before this too.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Obviously,
when the overall, like, the Curry Green minutes are just like, yeah, whatever, you know, that
with Steph, Draymond, and Clay on the floor together, they're plus 8. It's not unbelievable, but it's something.
Yeah. So I teeter on whether to put them in the contender class or not. And I think the memories of that second Houston Rockets team with Olajuwon and Drexler, like, are still kind of burned in my head that there is something about teams, the fact that a team...
Never underestimate the heart of a champion, John.
Never underestimate the ability of a defending champion, I think, because they've shown that they can succeed in that exact environment. There is that aspect where I give them the benefit of the doubt and say, okay, if you can make it into the main draw, I might give you, you know, something around 5%.
I think as long as they are healthy, especially if Peyton is back, if they're healthy and it's like in a way that it's not like, okay, Andrew Wiggins is clearly a shell of himself. He's missed 2 months. Like, he's just not, he's just terrible. Like, if they have, like, anyone looking even close to the way they looked last year, even for like 3 games at the end of the regular season, I will probably favor them in each individual series. It's just going to be a question of, you know, they're going to probably have home court in 0 series, maybe at most, but they could get the 4 seed. We'll see.
Sacramento is going to happen, but they could get up to 4. Now, Phoenix is going to be a problem too, though. So we'll see.
I mean, if that's the 4-5 Suns Warriors, God, wow, that'll be
right. Right. But that's part of the problem when you end up in that part of the, you know, when you end up in that neighborhood. Now you got to play a crazy series just to get yourself out of the first round.
Yeah. Although I got to say, also being the 6th seed, maybe not so bad.
Yeah, especially if Sac stays at 3. You see, if Phoenix is at 3.
That's what I'm basing it on. And they have a 4-game lead on the Suns right now in the loss column. Again, hard schedule. Suns, you expect them to play better, but Kings are probably still the favorite for that 3 seed.
Yeah, Suns would have to win both the head-to-heads, I think.
And, you know, the Lakers were like, oh yeah, we're going to win. We're going to get up to the 6th seed, and then we're going to play the Kings in the first round. So, well,
get out of here, man.
I had to calm down a little on that. I mean, obviously the Kings, they're going to get no respect here. People are going to be pissed off. They're going to be considered the worst 3 seed since the 06
Nuggets. Oh, come on. The East had some doozies in there, man. Let's not quite go there.
As a 3 seed? I don't know, man. I'm... Like, who's the... That would be interesting to go back and look at. Certainly the worst West 3 seed since 2006. You buy that, at least?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
And that was only... And the Clippers... like tank their asses off to get into that matchup down the end of the season.
But that wasn't even the third best team, though. It was like the seventh best team was awarded the 3 seed. So that's like a completely different thing.
No, I agree. But am I being too harsh on Sacramento? Obviously, it doesn't matter. I mean, unless they're playing the Wolves in the first round, it's impossible for me to imagine they'll be favored.
Yeah, I think you're right.
They're going to have an unbelievable crowd. They will have the best crowd in basketball for sure.
Yes.
In that series.
Yes. That's going to be lit without a doubt.
I think they could beat the Mavs. If it's the Mavs, I think they could beat them. I would not give them a chance against the Suns, Warriors, or Clippers.
Dallas is the one that I think that's the most gettable one for them. If they're the number three, we'll see. Yeah. They still got work to do to hold off Phoenix.
Yeah, I mean, the Kings do have the number one offense in basketball.
They scored 176 points.
Yeah, that was a pretty amazing game where the Clippers could score 175 points. And my biggest takeaway was bashing my head against the wall of their late game offense, including Russ and Mason Plumlee.
All right. Do we need to talk about the I don't think either of us think the Kings are a real contender, right?
No, I think they just not only are they I think, you know, Sabonis, Fox, like I'm just not sure how good those guys are going to be in a playoff setting when you can scheme them. Maybe more Sabonis than Fox, but also just the lack of two-way players. I think there's just too much that's exploitable, and they just don't have the experience level either. So the LA Clippers, what is your opinion of the Russell Westbrook buyout signing?
Good God, man. Like, what are you doing? So there was this sort of small window I envisioned where I thought maybe this can work if they sort of put him in a box, say, okay, we're going to play you and PG and Kawhi off the court, and then you can generate offense and you'll be better at it than some of these other guys we've had to try in that spot. And we'll live with the inefficiency because it's shot creation and the other guys just can't do it at all. But instead, they have him out there with their two best offensive players just taking possessions away from him, you know, time after time. Like it's an act of sabotage almost, right?
It certainly seemed like Lawrence Frank wasn't quite on board with the idea.
That's a weird vibes coming out, right? Like a lot more enthusiasm from the coach than from the GM on that one.
Yeah, and just watching the end of that Kings game where Kawhi Leonard is like 12 of 16 from the field. He's got 40 points with 4 minutes left in the game, and he scores four despite playing another full quarter of basketball because they are double teaming him off of Russell Westbrook's man every single time.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think, will they figure it out? They've lost three straight since they brought him in. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, it's not his fault. You know, he had 17 and 14 in the first game with them. But it's like, here's the thing. Like, a lot of times, Russ, and this would even be the case with the Lakers, it's like, oh, he's playing well. Like, he's earned the right to close, right? So it's like, well, he's playing well. Like, yeah, we got to leave him out there. He's also starting, by the way. Mm-hmm. But no matter how well he's played, the chance of him just doing something incredibly dumb or the other team just exploiting his lack of shooting at the end of the game is so large. It's just, it's so risky to have him out there at the end of the game.
Yeah, I agree. I thought losing at home to Minnesota after those other two games was like almost a disqualifying event. Like, okay, I'm sorry, I'm done. I can't take you seriously anymore.
Yeah, why couldn't he have just signed with the Wizards? It would have been such a good fit with the Wizards.
Yeah, it would have been. Well, would have probably gone a little better. Wizards are looking a little frisky now, but they didn't have Monte Morris last night, so they definitely could have used him last night.
Yeah. Washington Wizards, contenders or pretenders, John? I think there's one other team we probably got to talk about is the Mavs.
I think that's we
hold on. Sorry. That was too facile of an analysis.
Okay.
Kawhi Leonard looks like Kawhi Leonard. Do you agree with me on that?
Mostly. Yeah.
Offensively?
Yeah. Like I don't know if I've quite felt the awesomeness as much at the defensive end.
Right.
And then this supporting cast is, what it looked like on paper coming into the year was a bunch of good players who could sort of uplift the two superstars that were there, and what it's played as more is a bunch of mildly above replacement players who can't really do a whole hell of a lot on their own. Am I being too harsh there?
No, I don't think so. And Eric Gordon has looked awful for them. He's negative 13 in 7 minutes last night. He hasn't looked good on defense either. The Plumlee addition, at least Zubats was back, but I never really quite understood that when they also want to play five out. Like Nick Batum has continues to shoot the ball well, but he hasn't been the same force he was defensively, like back in the 21 playoffs.
Yeah.
There's the Russ Covington issue as well. Yeah. Covington hasn't played at all. Like,
that's the one that's wild to me.
If they were going to play Russ, like, I actually think Covington's a pretty good fit with him, but they haven't gone that direction. So I'm just, you know, Marcus Morris is looking really slow lately. I'm just not sure these guys can defend at quite high enough of a level to really be a severe threat. Where Kawhi, and it's possible Kawhi might just be the best player in the Western Conference playoffs again. I'm not going to totally rule that out. But, I mean, it would take that type of performance, and they also have to defend. Like, this, you certainly, no series that this team is going to be in is going to be an easy
one. No, I just, it's going to be a, I just think it's going to be a
slug. Well, easy for them, then, I should say, sorry.
Yeah. They have a hard time generating easy baskets, and they don't really have a number three guy.
And there's just
I'm out.
Like, yeah, you're out. You would have them below the Warriors and the Suns?
Yes.
Very interested to see what this game at Golden State, no Steph, is going to look like on Thursday. Like, that's a big game for them. They need to win that game. Dallas?
Yeah, another team that's starting a buyout guy. Like, what the hell, people? Like,
how long are they going to do that for? Like, do you think they just had to promise him that to get him in? Like, it seems like it's kind of melting down a little bit there right now.
Yeah. I mean, they've lost a bunch of close games, so you don't want to overreact too much to that. But
yeah,
it's another one. Like, okay, I'm supposed to take you seriously as a contender, and you just lost at home to the fucking Pacers with all your players available, right? Like, sorry. Like, and it's not just the one game. It's that game dropped you to 32-31. Like, you've had 60 games already where you've disappointed me. At this point, I just don't really see it. I think things are getting weird with Kidd. I just, even with Kyrie there, the secondary options are just, man, it's some weak stuff there now. Getting Klay
maybe
back
bringing
help, yeah. But he also, like, he's 31 now. Like, I don't know if he's at quite where he was 2 years ago.
Yeah, maybe having him back, then you can maybe play Wood a little bit more now. That helps you kind of just be competent defensively and just completely kill people off. And that's the biggest thing, is that they just haven't exploded the way you would expect them to so far. And then also the Luka Kyrie fit has been clunky at the end of games. Maybe they can figure out a way to just play better offense. I mean, I don't think they're going to get any better on defense. Like, I think there's still untapped offensive potential here that I'm not willing to rule out yet.
Yeah, I mean, they're just hoping to catch lightning in a bottle, basically. And even if Luka and Kyrie click, I just don't think the rest of the team is good enough.
Yeah. I mean, they could be the best offense in the Western Conference playoffs, but we just haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
They could also, if they're the sixth seed, lose to the Kings in the first round, I think, very easily.
Yes, 100%.
So I guess for me, I'm trying to embrace the uncertainty here. And maybe it's possible by the start of the playoffs, if some of these teams start playing well, that I'll be able to be more in on some of them.
Possibly. I mean, I'm trying to use like that 5% bar. Like, I'm trying not to get like, I'm not saying it's mathematically impossible for these other teams, but it's, you know, let's be realistic about what is likely and what is not.
Yeah, I would put Dallas below that 5%. I would say Golden State and Phoenix I would probably have above. Clippers are like, I probably would have them below, I would say. They have so many of these parts too. Like, the Clippers don't know how they want to play. You just added a guy who's maybe the hardest guy to fit around in the entire NBA in your starting lineup.
And I mean, that's obviously, it's fixable to an extent and that they could go back to playing man, but it's just hard to get excited about them and where they're going. What does the ceiling for that team even look like? I'm just not sure it's really that high, even with Kawhi and PG being there.
All right, well, this was fun. I'm glad that we got a chance to go through all these. So we'll see what happens. So we got a big month coming up. We got to look back on last year's trade deadline. That's always fun to do. We got to do some coach rankings, as I mentioned. That's should be interesting.
It's not really dunked on until we're dunking on your team's title hopes. Should that be our new slogan?
we can wrap up here. Thanks so much for being a subscriber, and we'll talk to you all next time. Till then.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.